The book of Malachi, chapter 1. Now, this is the last book in the Old Testament. And it's at the time when the Jews were in exile for 70 years, and then they returned. But when they returned, they could have sort of re-established the kingdom of God. But when they returned, they weren't really very enthusiastic. And what could have been didn't happen. And they were disappointed in that, but it was really their own fault. God had so wanted for them to come back to his country and to rebuild the kingdom. But unfortunately, they just didn't want to do this, really, for the reasons that God wanted them to. So this is the message that God gave to Malachi for the Israelites. Yahweh says to his own people, "I have loved you," but you reply, "How have you loved us?" Now, this is sounding like spoiled children with their best possible mummy and daddy who say, "We've loved you." And they turn around and say, "But how have you loved us?" And that's what they were saying to God. And the Lord replied, "Esau and Jacob were brothers, but I loved Jacob, and I, as it were, hated Esau." It doesn't mean that he hated them. It means that he loved them less. He had loved Jacob more than Esau. "I destroyed Esau's hill country and gave his land over to the jackals. If Esau's children, the Edomites, say, 'Our towns have been destroyed, but we're going to go and rebuild them,' then I would reply, 'If you rebuild them, I will tear them down again, and people shall call them the evil land and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever.'" Now, of course, the point is that the people of Edom, whom God did not love as much as Jacob, they had gone back and rebuilt their land that was all in ruins. But the Israelites, the men of Judah, the Jews, wouldn't do that. Their land was in ruins. God was encouraging them, "Go and rebuild it." And they didn't want to. Whereas these other people, who had far less of God's love than the Jews had, they were eager to rebuild what had been destroyed in their land. And so, Malachi goes on, "The people of Israel will see this with their own eyes and will say, 'The Lord is mighty, even outside the land of Israel.'" So there was this idea that God was only really active within the land of Israel. And Jonah had that idea. He thought he could just get a boat away from Israel and he'd be away from God. But that, of course, is not true, because God is operating everywhere, all over the earth and all over the cosmos, the planets, and everywhere. And so the Lord God Almighty says to the priests, "A son will honor his father, and a servant will respect his master. I am your father, but why don't you honor me? I'm your master, but why don't you respect me? Instead, you despise me, and yet you ask, 'How have we despised you?' This is how: because you offer worthless sacrifices on my altar." They were supposed to offer animals that didn't have any blemish in them. But whenever they had an animal that wasn't really any good, that was sick or that was blind or that was limping, they thought, "Well, this isn't worth much. Okay, let's give this on the sacrifice, on the altar to God as a sacrifice." So they were not respecting God by giving him the best. Then you ask, "How have we failed to respect you?" And I tell you, because you have despised my altar. When you bring an animal to sacrifice it to me and it's blind or sick or it can't walk or it limps, don't you see that there's something wrong with that? If you were to give an animal like that to your governor, would he be happy with you? Or would he do anything for you in response? Now, this is for you, O you priests. If you ask God to be good to us, he will not answer your prayers, and it is your fault. The Lord God Almighty says, "You will not even close the temple doors for nothing." In other words, they're saying, "Well, any little bit of service I give to God, someone's got to pay me for it. I'm not going to do it because I want to." Absolute selfishness. And so God says, "I will not accept the offerings which you bring me." And yet, from one end of the world to the other, my name will be great amongst the Gentiles. That is, God is now thinking to turn away from the Jews and to give himself and relationship with him to the Gentiles. That's people who are not Jews. In every place, incense will be offered to me and acceptable sacrifices, that is, the best, not lame and blind and sick animals. And they shall all honour me, but you, that's the Jews, you dishonour me when you say that my altar is worthless and when you offer on it sacrifices that you despise. And you turn up your nose at me. As you're offering to me, you bring an animal that you stole or one that is sick. Do you think I will accept that from you? Well, you remember how David said once, I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which costs me nothing. And sacrifice by its nature means that you give something and you don't have it anymore. And you are, as it were, in minus, in deficit after that. And you certainly don't think, oh, I've got to sacrifice an animal to God. I'm going to go and steal one. This is absolutely wrong. And so he's saying, look, you don't even respect me. And yet I'm your father. And I'm your master. And you should honour me. And so he says, a curse on the deceiver who offers a worthless sacrifice to me, when he has in his flock a good animal, and yet he does not give it to me. For I am a great king and will be honoured by people from all nations. So, unfortunately, Israel were not at all grateful to God. They did not give him what they should have done. They didn't love God. And so God has turned to the Gentiles. He's turned to the people who aren't Jews. And finally, of course, the Jews crucified God's own son. And so it's very sad for God, and it was always sad for him. God is, as it were, a tragic kind of figure. And one almost feels sorry for God, and then we look at ourselves and we think, yeah, but am I giving God my very best? Or am I sacrificing to him that which cost me nothing?